That little principle is a deep, valuable principle, especially in our youth. And maybe I would title it a little differently. What would I title it? I wrote something here, faithful in the little things. You know, sometimes good works feel little. But if we'll learn to be faithful and faithful and faithful in what we call little things sometimes, then God can give us bigger ones. But be faithful. Dear brothers and sisters, be faithful in every little opportunity God gives you. From, as was heard, changing diapers to moving chairs around to whatever. Do it as unto Jesus. A little quote, and I'm sorry, I don't remember where it comes from, that blessed me along this line was, don't seek after ministry. Anticipate the fruit of a disciplined life. I like that. Don't seek after ministry. Just anticipate the fruit of a disciplined life. Well, I'm just very blessed with that comment from Brother Corney. I just want to make that little illustration. If we could we bow for prayer before we begin? Father, we come once again. We ask, Father, that this time wouldn't be wasted. You know there are some very deep things on my heart this morning. And I pray you'll give me grace and clarity to share them in love and yet clearly. Because you know, Lord, some of them aren't going to like some things I'm going to say this morning. Father, I pray, help me to share it in love and grace and yet from your word, so that they're convinced. And I thank you, Lord, that some of them will. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray, please bless my words. Be with me and be with the ears and hearts of those that are listening. By your Spirit, come, Lord, please. Amen. Do you remember Brother Allen's ship? So yesterday, I think he drew a ship. Then he drew a lifeboat over here. And if I'm not mistaken, he made the comment that if you leave strings attached to this ship that's going down, you're going to have a hard time keeping your lifeboat afloat. No, I shouldn't say it that way. You won't keep your lifeboat afloat. If you leave your strings attached to this world that's going down. In some senses, that's a beautiful little picture for what I'd like to share this morning. And I'm going to title it this. Here's your title for your little book. Carnal mindedness kills. And as I thought on it, I almost wanted to ease that word kill a little bit. And I wanted to say carnal mindedness, you know, starts to choke you or something. But as we'll see in the Word of God, that's not what God says. God says it kills. So I left it the way God says it. Carnal mindedness kills. And the principle is this. It's very simple. The principle is the principle of fleeing carnality. That's the principle. The principle of fleeing carnality. If we flee without pursuit of yesterday, frequently it ends up in legalism. If you take today's, what I'm going to share today, and you don't put it on the basis of yesterday and the day before, it frequently ends up in legalism. Fleeing without pursuing tends toward legalism. But young people, I want to plead this morning. Pursuing without fleeing tends to be drugged down by the world. You can try to keep your lifeboat afloat. Now, I didn't redraw the picture, but I think you remember it. You can try to keep your lifeboat afloat, but if those ropes going to the world that is sinking stay attached, it's hard to keep your lifeboat above the waves. In fact, I think we'll see in the Word of God, you can't. Remember, yesterday, I jumped into the principle today just a little bit when we looked at Hebrews 12 there where it says, let us therefore lay aside the weights and let us run. Well, I focused on the run. Today, I'm going to focus on the lay aside. We looked at a little bit, don't entangle yourself, or maybe that's one of the verses I didn't get to, but you know it. Don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this world. And then it's talking about warring and pursuing in a war for God. And both of these principles, pursuing and fleeing, they just go right hand in hand as we look through the Word of God. Sometimes the Word of God lifts up the principle of pursue without flee, and sometimes it lifts up flee without pursue, but many times you'll see them hand in hand. As we pursue Him, there are also things that we must get rid of, and we must flee, and we must cut cords that are connected with the world. And so, I'm going to try to convince you, just briefly, I'm going to try to do three things, just so you know where I'm going. I'm going to try to convince you from the Word of God that carnal mindedness kills. That's what we're going to do first. We're going to look at the Word of God. I'm going to try to convince you. Carnal mindedness kills. And then number two, I'm going to try to give some definition. To carnal mindedness. What am I talking about? What's God talking about? How's God see this? And number three, I'm going to plead with you. I'm going to give illustrations from my own life, and I'm going to plead with you to grab this principle and use it and benefit the blessings that there are in this principle. So let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. I think I have a dozen verses again. Different passages, I should say. So I'm sure we won't get to them all, but let's start here in Romans chapter 8. And I think most of us know a little bit of what Romans chapter 8 is here. So we're going to jump in the middle a little bit. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Remember what we talked about Monday? What did we have under the old covenant law? We had thou shalt, thou shalt not. They didn't continue. And then what did we have? Oh, yes. Amen. Over here was the I will. But over here we had, at the very bottom, we equaled out into fault. As Hebrews said it, failure. Okay, right here it's talking about the same thing. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, it was weak. God, sending His own Son, hallelujah, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Does that mean that thou shalt and the thou shalt not disappeared? No, they were still there. And they're still there upon us today. But now He has come, Jesus came, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's a key here. For they that are after the flesh do mind, think about, meditate on, care about, it influences them. They mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so He's just making it very clear here. If we mind and we care about and we think about, and those things that influence us most are the things of the flesh, and they are the carnal things of life, if those are what drive us, motivate, influence us, all of those things, we're caring about those things. But if we mind the things of the Spirit of God, we're walking in the Spirit of God. Is it not that simple? Verse 6, 4. To be carnally minded is death. That's where I get my title. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I don't think if we're going to be carnally minded that we can move away from this, from the covenant, from the old covenant and move to the new covenant. We're not going to be able to do that if we continue to walk with carnal mindedness. It won't work. We'll walk after the flesh. But to be spiritually minded is where we'll find life. Brother Allen keeps using the word life. We'll find life flowing into us. We'll find life coming from the Spirit of God flowing into our life and then flowing out of our life. Rivers of life water. living water. Because, why? Why such drastic difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind? Why such drastic difference? Because, verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Brother Alan mentioned that too. John chapter 1 John chapter 2. Enmity. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's at war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This mindedness that cares about the flesh and the things of the flesh and influenced by them, and that's what's important to you in life and all these things. If these are the important things in life, you can't be spiritual. Isn't that what it says? Basically. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, this might sound a little heavy. And it's my prayer this morning that I not make this so heavy, but I make this an exciting principle. This is a principle that if we will grasp this principle, and whenever we find something in our life that we realize is carnal mindedness, we don't have to weep and sigh and moan. Okay, maybe we need to do some repenting. But then we need to rejoice. We've seen it. Now we can kick it out and we'll have less weight and we can run better. It's that simple. We can chop off a rope that's tying us to this world and the old boat will float better. It should be an exciting principle. As we learn to flee carnal mindedness, as we learn to lay aside weights, it should be a joy within us. I know, sometimes it hurts. And it causes pain. And it's hard. And that's why we cringe at it sometimes. Young people, realize, look at it through the eyes of faith. And the eyes of faith see far beyond just this life. And they look on into the life of eternity. And they see our Lord Jesus. And they see our Father in heaven. And these things become strangely dim. And then it's beautiful. You know, you can do the very same action and it can be out of a carnal mind or a spiritual mind. Some actions are impossible to be done out of a carnal mind. Carnal mindedness. Some actions are impossible to be done with spiritual mindedness. But some actions can be done out of both. And it depends on whether you have a carnal mind or you're carnal minded or you have a spiritual mind or you're spiritual minded. But again, the principle I want us to get here, just go look real quickly here, back at verse 6, for to be carnally minded is what? I want you to say it. Heart, to be carnally minded is death. Carnality, fleshliness, earthliness, it strangles our Christian life. It strangles us. It hinders us. Maybe some of you have heard this. I reworded it just a little bit. I'm sorry, I don't know who coined these little verses. Two choices war within my breast. The one is foul, the other blessed. The one I love, the one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. My question this morning, what are you feeding? Are you feeding your carnal mind? It'll kill you. Young people, it'll kill you. Or are you realizing it's going to kill you, and so you're casting it off, and you're fleeing from it, and you're feeding your spiritual mind, and you'll grow. 1 Peter 2:11. First Peter chapter 2. Verse 11. Dearly beloved. Here's the Apostle Peter, his love for the people of God. Thank you, Brother Alan. His love for the children of God. Dearly beloved. I'm going to beg you something, dearly beloved. That's what Peter's saying. I have something to beg of you this morning, or I don't know when he wrote it. I'm sorry. In this letter, I have something to beg of you. Dearly beloved, I beseech you. As strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Abstain, flee, put off the fleshly lusts, the fleshly desires, the carnal mindedness that war. Swords and slashing and blood and cut off arms and cut off legs and cut off heads. I'm sorry, it sounds kind of gruesome. But this is the kind of war that happens against your soul if fleshly desires, carnal mindedness, fleshly lusts are allowed to grow, to fester. That's what happens. You know, a dagger. Picture a dagger. Short little sword. And I would like you just to picture it. When you allow a fleshly lust or a carnal desire or a carnal mindedness to be a part of you, you're taking this little sword and you're stabbing your spiritual life. Are you going to grow? Is your spiritual life going to grow? And you say, oh, well, you know, I don't know what your excuses are. Maybe a lot of them, a lot of the time. And I think a lot of the time, it's actually ignorance. And that's what I'm wanting to do this morning, is try to expose some ignorance. We'll get to defining this. But get the picture. They war. They stab you. They fight. They chop. That's what fleshly lusts do. That's what carnal-mindedness does. It kills. If I was an artist, I would take and draw a little sheep up here for you, too. And I'm far from an artist. I'm not even going to try. But I draw this little sheep up here so much that everybody's heart would just go, aw, you know, and we love this little sheep, and it's so cute, and it's so sweet, and it's so lovely, and here's this little sheep. And then I would like you to take the picture of this little sheep up here, and I would like you to put in your right hand, I'd like you to put a bottle of milk, just a little baby sheep. And in your left hand, you have a club. And then, this little baby sheep, I'd like you to see that is your life. And every time that you pursue Christ and you lay aside and you run, you take that bottle and you give it to that sheep and he sucks. And he is delighted and he grows with strength. Okay? That's what you do. You give him some milk of the bottle in your right hand. And then you pull the bottle away. Not pulling the bottle away. I'm not trying to make emphasis of that. And then you make a... You allow a carnal mindedness in, a thought or an action or a whatever that is fleshly. You're taking this stick. This, what did I call it? Stick. I forget what it, club. And you're whacking that sheep. Whack! Then you turn around and you get up in the morning and you read your Bible and you give it some milk. Then you go through your day and praise God, maybe you feed it a little more, but during the day, there's a couple more things that you allow in your mind or your heart or your actions or your thoughts, and you just give him a big club whack. What's that poor little sheep supposed to do? I'm feeding it. I'm giving it milk. And it just keeps bleeding and hurting and won't grow. You're killing it with your club. God said it'll happen. You're trying to give it some milk, but you're taking a club and you're beating it too. Fleshly lusts which war against the soul. 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. Oh. Here we found some carnality. And the Apostle Paul is trying to expose it and make it plain to them so that they grow. I had to speak unto you as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And here I want to put in a little plug. I want you to realize the tendency of a babe is to have a lot of carnality in them. Okay? And you know what? That's the way it is. When God saves our souls, that's the way it is. That's the way it was with me majorly. And I know it's still that way. And He's having grace with me with the carnality and the carnal mindedness that He's trying to work out of my life. But it's common. Don't be discouraged. It's common for babes, young sheep, to have some carnality. That's common. The Apostle Paul is pleading with them, though, saying, you shouldn't stay there. You've got to learn to run and lay aside. You've got to learn to follow after and flee. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. You still have too much carnality in you, Corinthians. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? I remember when it started dawning on me some of my babiness, and I'm still seeing my babiness. Please, I'm not trying to say that I'm mature. I'm still seeing my babiness. But when I began to see my babiness, when that process started, and it's still going, praise God, when I began to see it, God started laying His finger on me. And He said, Mickey, why do you like to play basketball so much? I did. In fact, at 13 and 14, I actually wasn't a bad player. I could play basketball. I spent hours at it. And God started just laying His finger on me, Mickey, why do you play basketball? Well, as God began to grow in my heart to look at things in light of eternity, basketball just kind of got sort of silly. And there's a place for basketball, exercise. There's even a place for it, even with relationships. I believe those things, but I had a little more than that. I played it by myself. I was good at it, and I liked that I was good at it, and I wanted to be better at it, and so I practiced. And I realized I'm just feeding a carnal thing in my life, and it's not going to bless my spiritual life. And so I started not playing as much basketball. And that's just one little thing that I realized. And what I'd like to plead with you young people is we might look at that and we might say, okay, is that going to kill me? What I'm here to plead with you is, yes, it'll kill you. A little basketball and a steel ring, yes. Not a rubber ball and a steel ring, but a heart that feeds its own personal desires and what it personally wants to do and what it likes to do, and it wants to be good at it and know how to do it and know the moves and be good at, you know, it's feeding. A little one, maybe you say, it's just a little tiny rope attached up here to this ship. Thank you, Brother Alan. But it was a little rope. And if we just leave all those little ropes, they're going to drag us down. I remember putting on a pair of shoes, tennis shoes. And maybe I'm a little... Maybe this is years ago, and maybe I didn't even know what was in back then, but I liked it when my trousers were a little tighter around my legs. So they'd sit farther up on my shoes so you could see the tongue of my shoe a little more. And I remember looking and trying to keep my trouser leg on the top of my shoe just a little bit. That's what it's doing. That's what I was doing. And it dawned on me, I'm thinking about me. My self-image, what others think about me, how others care about me, or what the way they see me. Let's move on. James 4. That carnal mind is enmity against God. It puts me in the center instead of God in the center. James chapter 4. Verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world, little ropes going up to this ship, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Whew, that's strong. Friendships and ties with the world and what the world loves and what the world loves to do and what I love to do. And it all just flows together. And it's for myself and to feed my flesh and to feed my own personal desires and all those connections. Friendship with that is anti-God. It is. It's anti-God. You lust and have not. You know, you have desires and you don't have it. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not. I'm sorry, I jumped into the wrong place, didn't I? Adulterers and adulteresses. Verse 5. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? The spirit that dwelleth in us has a tendency to envy. It has a tendency to lust, to intently desire and crave. What did I write down here? To feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence. Okay, that's envy. When I see something else or someone else that did something better, and I kind of wish I could be like that, and I wish I could fit in with them, and I wish I would be looked upon like that. That's envy. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. And it wants to be on the top. And it wants to be seen in good light. And it wants to be accepted. But, verse 6, hallelujah. That's the tendency of this old man under the old covenant. It's thinking about me. Has me at the center. Has carnality, carnal mindedness, lusting to envy, flesh, all these things, that's at the center. But he giveth more grace. Hallelujah. There's grace available for you and me. There's grace available. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself. Don't try to lift yourself up. Don't try to make your trousers look nice so you look good. Humble yourself. Submit yourself. Yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Here's resist. Draw nigh and resist. You see these two principles again? Draw nigh, that's the pursue. Draw nigh and resist, that's the flee. Different words, different perspectives, and each one has a good perspective we can meditate on. But it's the same principle. It's the going towards and it's the pushing away. It's the putting on. It's the taking off. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Oh, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. If you have two minds, a carnal mind and a spiritual mind, purify your heart. Be afflicted and mourn. And we could go on there, and he talks about that. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. God creates a vacuum in mankind. He does. We talk about it sometimes. He creates a vacuum in mankind that is looking for fulfillment in something. And I've done it. Maybe some of you have done it. You're sharing with someone the gospel, or you're trying to get them to see their need, and you share with them, God puts a drawing in there. And God puts a hunger in there. And many of you go and try to find it in, and we do. We try to fulfill it with our flesh in drugs and in alcohol and whatever. And as you're sharing the gospel. But what you're doing is you're filling up this void, trying to fill up the void so that you don't have this craving for something that you don't have. But what needs to happen is you need to what? And to get rid of those things, allow that craving to come back and pursue God. Okay, I've shared that. Well, I want to share it in a setting, and I trust there's not a lot of drugs and alcohol and that in here today, praise God. Maybe there's a little, and God can bless you and get you free from that if there is. But if there's not, it works the same way, young people. Even after we come to God, he still creates a vacuum in there to draw us unto himself. He means for that to be there, to draw us unto himself. When the Spirit of God comes, it puts a hunger for the things of God. What we do so often is we smear it full ourselves with a whole bunch of putty, with a whole bunch of Durham's rock hard putty, whatever it is. And we smear it full to try and then we can't figure out why we don't hunger after God. Well, you filled it up and you're with carnal things and fleshly things and your own desires and you put yourself at the center of your life and it doesn't. You don't have a hunger and you can't figure out why. Young people, flee carnal mindedness. Get rid of it. Lay aside and pursue. Galatians Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I just wanted to bring in this principle of sowing and reaping. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You want corruption? Anybody want corruption around here? Nobody raised their hands, but your life and my life shows what we really want. Reapeth corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit, hallelujah, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Young people, you can get tired. You can get tired in seeking to sow to the Spirit and sow to the Spirit and get rid of the flesh. But you know what God says? He says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get weary. Keep on sowing the right thing and getting rid of the wrong thing. Okay, I need to keep moving. We only got four verses, didn't we? If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Romans 8:13. Love not the world. I'll leave that one with Brother Allen. 1 John 2:15-17. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh and with the lust thereof. And we can go on and on and on. Romans 13:14. I want to give you a little illustration. Carnal mindedness kills. All right. Here's just a little graph. And I'm going to put a word right here. Amoral. All right? Amoral. And over here we could put moral, or we could put godly. And over here I'm going to put immoral, or I think I had another word. I could put ungodly there, but I was going to put carnal. And I realize carnal. Sorry about that. We could put ungodly there to maybe be consistent. But do most of you know what amoral means? We have moral, which is right and good and godly. We have immoral, which is ungodly and wrong. But then we have this little word, amoral, neither right nor wrong. This is where I feel like we, as the people of God, and especially us, me included, us young people go wrong. Is I believe we leave this huge amoral place in our life. And we say, well, it's not necessarily either right or wrong. And we like to say, you know, God doesn't say in the Word whether I'm supposed to wear red shoes, white shoes, or black shoes. You know, that's an amoral thing. God doesn't say whether I'm supposed to have suspenders, a belt, a shirt tail in, shirt tail out, you know, whatever it is. And so we class it all in amoral. God doesn't say whether I'm supposed to drive a Chevy or a Ford or a Toyota or a VW. And so we class it all in amoral. God doesn't say whether we're supposed to, and I could go on and on and on down the list. God doesn't say we can listen to music that has, when they use a little bit of drums, but not too much drums, or no guitars. And, you know, we say, well, that's not clearly spelled out. And so I'm afraid too many times we stick it in here. I want to plead with you. I'm going to plead with you. And I'm totally running out of time. So, but this right here is a carnal Christian view of life. I want to plead with you. This is a carnal Christian view of life. What happens then? Is everything then that your flesh and your carnality and your whatever that we looked at that God says kills you comes into your life, you say, hey, wait a minute, that's in here. That's in this little spot, in the amoral spot. Don't touch that. That's amoral. God doesn't make that explicit. I'm here to plead with you. A spiritual Christian, and I hope you'll give me grace here. Illustrations fall down. But I'd like to plead with you that an earnest-hearted, deathly serious Christian, it'll look much more like this. Does that make any sense at all? I'm going to explain it, but does that make any sense at all? This all-moral world narrows way down. If I come and I ask you, would you like a glass of water with ice or not? Okay. It probably comes right in here. Right? There's not a lot of, you know, you could figure out if it's flesh or spirit. No. It's probably right in here. And that's why I have to leave a little spot in there. But I would like you to realize, I believe the Christian, the spiritual Christian, he narrows this amoral world way, way down. And he realizes, my heart attitudes, my thoughts, my mindedness, what kind of mind I am when I do it. I realize you can wear a very godly shirt. There might be an amoral shirt and there might be an immoral shirt. Just talking real practically here in a shirt. It's probably true. We could give a picture of each one and it fits in here. So a shirt can fit in either one. But young people, what I'm pleading is don't leave this so big and then it's smashed full and then you think you live your life here. Live your life here. You think this is a little harsh. Listen to this. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. You ever been that harsh? And if your right hand offends you, cut it off! You'd be totally turned off at me if I'd come up here and I'd take a whatever and I'd chop my hand off. That's the illustration God uses, and I believe our Father in heaven is showing us. Let's be serious about this. Don't just say, well, it's in here, it's okay. Chop it off if it's hindering you. I talked about my trousers and having them hook up on my toes, and a very good toe for that, tongue for that. But young people, you're killing your spiritual life when you spend a lot of time in front of the mirror and trying to make sure how you look before you go somewhere, before you go to Bible school, and you got to make sure it's just right and everything's just whatever. We don't want to be sloppy, but when you spend too much time there and you're so concerned about it, what kind of mindedness do you think you're feeding? Well, God doesn't care if it goes to the right or to the left or back or forward. It's amoral. No, it's not. It's spiritual. Depending on where your heart is and your mindedness is how much you care about it. Because if you're just full of thoughts and in front of the mirror and making sure it's right this way and it's right this way, you're feeding carnal mindedness. And it's going to kill you. I forgot about my illustration. You see this? A hose clamp. I was going to put it around here. When we have a carnal mind, it's just like this. I did this morning. And I don't know how much to make a big deal out of just a little illustration here. You put this on me, please. I want you to remember this. You know how pipe clamps work. I'm sorry, hose clamps. It goes right in here. Just turn it, right like that. Turn it. It's not this hard to be carnal-minded, by the way. Can you see it? Go ahead. Thank you. You got it. I was going to put it the other way, too. My left hand isn't as good. I don't know which way to go. Sorry, carnal-mindedness isn't this hard. When we stand, and I'm going to go back to that illustration, we stand in front of the mirror and we've got to make sure it's just right. And we spend a lot more time before we come to Bible school, before we go up on a normal morning, and all these things. You know what we're doing, young people? We're taking our spiritual life and we're giving this a couple turns. We gave it a couple turns. Did it kill you right then and you're not spiritual? Not necessarily, but it's starting to choke you. If you mess around in your mind with another young man or another young lady, and God loves courtship and He loves marriage and those things are beautiful, but you're just messing around and you're thinking, you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what you're doing? You're going to your spiritual life and you give it a couple turns. And when you're sowing, And you sew your dresses, young lady. And you just would rather tighten it up a little bit rather than loosen it up. It looks so baggy and sloppy. And you just want to tighten it up. And you want to show your form. And you just want these things. Do you know what you're doing, young ladies? And when you want, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I just want you to see carnal mindedness kills. And when you care about your hair, and maybe young ladies want just a little more of it out, and you swoop it a little lower, and you push the head covering back, and you whatever. Do you know what you're doing? I thought about it. I thought, you know, maybe I should just keep doing this until I get blue in the face and I fall over and you all run up here and you're scared stiff. Don't laugh. That's what you're doing, some of you. And some of us see it. And it hurts. We don't know what to do about it. So I'm here pleading. Oh, people, can you see this? Can you see that carnal mindedness is killing you? And so then we come and sometimes we talk with people. And you know how it is. Some of you know. And they say, oh, you're just so concerned about the outward. Yeah, we are concerned about the outward. But you can't, because that's what you're consumed with, is the outward. So we are concerned about it. Get a spiritual heart. And love the spiritual things. I think that when you mess around with relationships, maybe especially boy-girl, but also even just boy-to-boy, girl-to-girl, and you mess around with relationships and this social media texting. Laura and I went on to social media once for a very specific purpose, and we needed to, sorry, I don't want to be too specific here, but we felt like we needed to do something, and so we did something. We went on it together, but after a while, Laura and I looked at each other. I looked at my wife, and I said, Laura, we don't want to be on this. And I'm not saying it's all wrong, but we don't want it. If there's influence, there's just talk and slang and pictures and stuff that just dumbs down my personal burden and view of holiness, and you just see it every day, and the talk is there every day. Okay, if there was a whole bunch of godly, deep spiritual men, and they had a Google Plus page, I want to be on it. But that's not usually what we have. It's usually looseness and carnality. Now, I'm not saying there can't be some spiritual things. But what I'm afraid is we usually class it right here, and it's not. Sorry. It's not. There might be a little bit over here. I'm afraid a lot of it's over here. I don't want the influence. Whether it's sports, and you're just into sports, or it's even relaxation, and you like to relax, and it's just the attitude of feeding myself and my flesh, and so I like to go have fun and be free here and do this. What are you doing? Maybe it's fantasizing. Young ladies, usually it's more fantasizing in your emotions, thinking of things and how much fun this would be. And sometimes it involves another young man or something, and you just fantasize. And what it does is it does this. And for us young men, our flesh, and we find ourselves, drives us, and we find ourselves in a room by ourselves, or we find ourselves wherever, and get tight here soon. You don't laugh. Sorry, I'm not trying to make this funny. I'm trying to make this serious. I don't want to make it too serious. I don't know where the balance is here. And then we go and we need to buy a car. And so then we have to figure out what kind of car we buy. Well, I want to plead with you young people. Most of your desires and most of your focus and most of your reasons and motivations aren't right here. They're either here or they're here. Be careful what you do. Feed your spiritual life. And chop these cords that are connected with the world with all you have. See this? If this thing, this phone, things like this are going to choke you, you need to do what that young man did that I mentioned to you at the first day of Bible school. He said, I didn't realize the Christian life was this serious. And he laid it down and he took a sledgehammer to it. Young people, if you're messing around and you're playing, and you're just frittering away time, and you say, well, it's just all moral. No, it's not. No, it's not. There are better things you could be doing in pursuing God. If you really believe what I said yesterday, and you want to pursue Him with all your heart, you don't have time to mess around, even if you think it's things that aren't evil. And there's a lot of things that can be evil in things like this. Maybe you need to smash it. Is a bunch of steel and wires evil of itself? No. You knew that. And so you say that the steel and the wires, well, that puts it right in here. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Our money does it, young men. Our music. I'm going to plead with you. If you think you can listen to music that's put out by people who allow a lot more carnalness in their life and not be influenced by their carnality and not influence you, I think that's just about, that's ridiculous. You're just doing this. If you're going to listen to music that's put out by people who you know their lives don't match up, and you say, well, yeah, but they say they're Christians and, you know, they call themselves Christians and look at these words. But if it's being produced, something that flows out of a life that's very, very, very carnal, carnal minded, carnal pursuits. A lot of it's there to sell, make emotions go fuzzy, whatever all it is. It's not in here. It's not all moral. It'll influence you some way. Please, young people, please. Movies is about 2 times or 5, 10 times that even. And you watch those things and they take you into another world. And you end up in this other world, this fake world, as this the pictures move on and they draw you in and you live in this unrealistic world. And you're doing this. And then after a while, you can't figure out why your spiritual life's hurting. And I exaggerated to make the point. You can't figure out why you're choking. Well, it's all in here. It's all moral. No, it's not. It happens in your clothes. Why do you wear the clothes you wear? What made you buy what you bought? Really stop and be honest with yourself. Don't just say, well, it was a good bargain. There's a place to do good bargains. But what was your motive? Are you sure there was no carnal mindedness at all in there? And you bought that because it was a good deal? And you know what? I think this is going to represent my Lord Jesus the way I want to. And I'm going to buy it. Maybe especially for you young ladies when you buy dress material. That looks difficult to me, to be honest with you. How to find my way through some of these things. So why am I motivated to buy this? And why am I motivated to buy that? But you've got to find your way through it. And how do I about this pattern and that pattern? If it was me, I'd find something that I, my authorities and whatever find is modest and stick with the pattern. Just stick with it. But watch your heart. It's not just here, young people. It's most likely here or here. Sorry about all my hears. You can see it, I guess. It's not just all moral. It is either going to drag you down in carnality or it's going to bless your spirituality. Be careful. Young ladies, when you sow, be careful. Watch your motives and your desires. Don't get so uptight that you can't be free. Find blessing under your authority and then just do it freely. But self-consciousness, peers, peer pressure. Caring about what others think. The in styles. And I got to keep up with the in styles. And maybe you're daydreaming and your mind goes places it's not profitable. And you just keeps on going and going. It just gets tighter and tighter and tighter. I'm going to plead with you. Ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? And I would encourage you, find authorities that will help you. These things are going to choke you. They're going to kill. Jesus says they'll kill. Carnal mindedness kills. But young people, I want to remind you of the joy of this. It's starting to hurt a little bit. I want to remind you of the joy. When you find a little something and you realize God has placed His finger on there, and in the back of your mind you've got this CD, or you've got these thoughts, or you've got this temptation, or you've got this these desires for this kind of dress, and you've got this whatever, with joy, when you realize God's putting His finger on that, be glad about it. Rejoice. It's one more thing you can lay aside and you'll be able to run better. You'll be able to run better. If yesterday your heart rejoiced, if yesterday, sorry, I'm loosening this a little. If yesterday your heart was rejoicing and you said, I want that. I want what we, I want what we talked about yesterday. I want to walk with God. I want to pursue Him with all of I have. With all that I have. And then you feel a couple of things. And you realize, ooh, I'm afraid that's carnal mindedness popping out. Rejoice! Rejoice! Grab a hold of it and kick it out. And with joy, realize there's more blood flow into your spiritual life now. There's more blood flowing. If you do it in a spirit of religiosity and law and all these things, and your heart isn't panting after God and for holiness, that won't bring blessing either. So I want to remind you that I know that. But that's not the point this morning, okay? I know that's a very valid, needed point. So I'm just going to mention it. But I'm going to plead with you. As you pursue, put that pursuing in the pot. And then put the fleeing in the pot too, young people. Please! Please! I want to give you just one last picture. Picture our precious Lord Jesus as He's sitting. And if you're spiritual, I wonder if some of these carnal things won't be as uncomfortable as this thing is to my neck too. Picture our Lord Jesus and He's sitting beside the Father. And His Father says, all right, son, it's time for you to go. Time for you to go. I'm sending you, son, into the world. And He sends him into the sin-filled world. And Jesus grows up and He has the same temptations that you and I have. I don't think they probably had these, and I don't know that they had all the same, all type of things, but it was the same temptations, it was the same flesh. And our Lord Jesus walked through it in purity, in spirituality, in godliness, in holiness. And He fed His spiritual life and He got rid of carnality. And I want to plead with you this morning, young people. Jesus said, as My Father has sent Me, so send I you. Young people, please, and I'm sorry, I feel kind of funny saying young people, I'm a young person too, but please, carnal mindedness kills. It kills. It'll kill you. And I know that's hard, self-centeredness, selfishness. It'll kill you. And sometimes, somehow, it seems hard to see that. But believe me. Believe the Word of God. Dive into it. I didn't hardly scratch the surface of what God talks about, those things. Dive into it. And then rejoice. As you get to lay aside and flee and run. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.